I want you to notice with me three great provisions which come to us through Christ's loving work in our behalf.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Our passage is Hebrews, the 9th chapter, verses 24 to 28. And our subject is the great works of Christ in our behalf. In Jesus Christ, there is the greatest paradox in all the world. There is the paradox of the greatest glory and the greatest humility. There is the paradox of one for whom the world exists and one who exists for the whole world. There is the paradox of the eternal King who became the eternal servant. This baffling combination was often evident in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ here on earth. There was the paradox of the self-centeredness of his teaching and the unself-centeredness of his behavior. In thought, our Lord Jesus Christ put himself first. In deed, he put himself last. He exhibited both the greatest self-esteem and the greatest self-sacrifice. He knew himself to be the Lord of all, but he became the servant of all. He said he was going to judge the world. That is his most powerful. And if he is not who he claims to be, his most preposterous. But he is most assuredly who he claims to be. So his most powerful claim. He claimed that he was going to judge the world, but he was willing to wash the apostles' feet. He came to be our servant. And so we have in this passage, Hebrews 9, in verses 24 to 28, the great works of Jesus Christ for you and me. And it means to me that the King of the universe becomes the servant of his subjects. He comes to serve us. He comes to meet our needs. He comes to express his love to us. He comes to perceive what our needs are and give himself to meet those needs. The King of the universe becomes the servant of his subjects. It's a baffling paradox and a revelation of the greatest love in all the universe. I think that every one of us listening over the radio must humbly and gratefully claim by faith all that Christ has done for us and act upon it. We must do it humbly, and we must do it gratefully. We must do it humbly because the most hateful of all sins is pride. There are six things which God hates. Yes, seven, which are an abomination to him. The first is a haughty look, a proud look. We must do it humbly, and we must do it gratefully. The most hateful of all sins is pride. The most graceless of all sins is the sin of ingratitude. We must humbly and gratefully claim by faith all that Christ has done for us and act upon it. And I want you to notice in Hebrews 9, verses 24 to 28, in survey fashion, as quickly as we can, I want you to notice with me three great provisions which come to us through Christ's loving work in our behalf. I want you to notice with me three great provisions which come to us through Christ's loving work in our behalf. I want them to be a source of encouragement to you. Maybe you need to be encouraged. I'd like to encourage you. I'd like to be a blessing to you. I'd like this revelation of what Jesus Christ has done for us to be a source of encouragement and motivation. Maybe it will encourage. I'd like to inspire you to be a more faithful, dedicated servant of God in view of all that Christ has done for you. I'd like to instruct you so that you know a little bit more precisely the effect of the atoning work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps God's Spirit would go so far as to convict you. It may be that you need to be saved. I want you to see what Jesus Christ has done for you and how he can radically transform your life if you'll place your faith in him as the Son of God and as God the Son, as the Savior of the world and your own personal Savior. It may be that God will convict you as a Christian, that you've begun to live out your life apart from Christ's lordship in various areas, and he would bring you back to himself. We must humbly and gratefully claim by faith all that Christ has done for us and act upon it. And I want you to notice with me these three great provisions. Now, what are they? I see three great works of Christ in our behalf in these verses. The first thing I see is Christ's advocacy. He's our advocate. And I think that's in verse 24. He represents us in the throne room of heaven. He's there now to appear in the presence of God for us. Christ's advocacy. The second thing I see is Christ's atonement. And I see that in verses 25 and 26. He offered himself once that he might put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And then the third thing I see is Christ's advent, the promise of his coming, and the blessings that will attend that. Now let's look at those for just a moment. The first thing I see is in Hebrews 9 and verse 24, and it's Christ's advocacy. Do you know what an advocate is? Christ is our advocate. He represents us in the throne room of heaven. The Bible says, an advocate is one summoned to aid. An advocate is one who pleads the cause of another in a court of law. Jesus Christ represents us in the supreme court of the universe. He stands in our behalf in the highest court of the universe. He stands before God in the throne room of God. One who pleads the cause of another in a court of law. One who defends or vindicates another by argument. A pleader in favor of someone or something. An intercessor. That's what it means to be an advocate. Jesus Christ carries on at this moment a ministry of advocacy in the throne room of God in our behalf. Jesus Christ is the trailblazer to heaven, and he's gone on before us to be there, and he represents us before the throne in the very presence of God, and he makes sure and certain of our own safe arrival. He does this as our advocate, our legal representative against all accusation. Now, as I look at verse 24, what do you see there? I see two outstanding things about this ministry of advocacy in our behalf by the Lord Jesus Christ as he there appears in the presence of God for us. The first thing I see is a special sanctuary. And the second thing I see is a special service. The first thing I see is a special sanctuary. The Bible says Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true. But Christ has entered into heaven itself. I see that he carries on his ministry in a special sanctuary. When Jesus Christ, our advocate, represents us before the heavenly Father against the accusations of Satan, and the Bible says that Satan is the accuser of the brethren, and the Bible says that Satan is always there to point out our deficiencies, and we have a way of supplying him with plenty of those deficiencies. Satan is the accuser of the brethren, and he is there to point out our deficiencies and to encourage God to abandon us to him. But Jesus Christ is our legal advocate. He's our representative in the throne room of God. And as he appears there, he does not appear in a mere copy of the true holy place. He stands in the very throne room of God. And that brings down into his ministry of advocacy a very special efficacy. He enters into heaven itself. Now, I think the author of Hebrews means to teach us, among other things, by that statement, by that truth in Hebrews 9 and verse 24, that there is no longer an earthly sanctuary. A sanctuary is where God dwells. In the Old Testament economy, there was an inner sanctum. There was a sanctuary. That's where God dwelt. But now there is no earthly sanctuary per se. That was terminated at the very moment of Christ's death, when Jesus said to Tetelestai in the perfect tense, when Jesus said, "It is finished." And it stands completed, perfect tense. When Jesus said, "It is finished," the Bible says at that instant, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And that veil in the temple, behind which was the visible manifestation of God, the glory cloud of God, that veil in the temple was the symbol of the inaccessibility of God. And when that veil was rent in twain, when it was torn in two, when it was severed and opened up, it meant that every man now has immediate access into the very throne room of God through the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. All of us now have access through the mighty work of the Son of God to the very presence of God, and we have it without the use of human intermediaries. The Bible says there's one God. And there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. The Bible would teach us that the real sanctuary on earth is the temple of your body. You are God's sanctuary. In fact, the scripture says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit?" And the scripture says, it uses that very special term, naos. Do you not know that your body is the naos of God? There were two words for temple in the Greek New Testament. One word was Heron. It was the term which described the general temple precinct. The whole temple area, the court of the Gentiles, the court of the women, the court of the men, the court of the priests, the whole temple area, all of these courts represented barriers between man and God. All of those barriers are down as a result of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Even the veil in the inner sanctum of the temple is rent in two, and we have immediate accessibility to the presence of God through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the scripture says, not only was there a Heron, a general temple precinct, but there was a Naas, that special room, that special inner sanctum in the temple area where God dwelt. And when Paul came to describe us as Christians, he said, your body is the Naas. Your body is the inner sanctum. Your body is the temple where God dwells. You are, in that sense, the bearers of God. You are the repositories of God. You are the depository in which God dwells. It's a position of powerful privilege, but of awesome responsibility. Wherever I go, God goes. I am His temple, His inner sanctum. That is the sanctuary on earth today. So we're taught in Hebrews 9, in verse 24, that it is in the very throne room of God, in heaven itself, that Christ carries on His function as our advocate. There's a special sanctuary, and that lends efficacy and power to what He does on our behalf there. But not only a special sanctuary, but also a special service. The Bible says that He is there now to appear in the presence of God for us. Do you notice that? The latter part of verse 24? Now to appear in the presence of God for us. The author of Hebrews says that Jesus Christ is at this very moment, now, noon is the little Greek particle, at this very moment, our representative in heaven. And the accent there is on visual and not verbal communication as He represents it. It's not as though the Son is arguing with the Father, defending us. The accent is on visual, not verbal communication. He is there to appear, to make visible, to appear in the presence, that is, in the very face of, that's the meaning of the term, before the face of God. He's there to appear in the presence of God for us. In other words, the very sight of the wounds of Jesus Christ, of the resurrected Savior, the very sight of the wounded and resurrected Savior satisfies the Father in our behalf. And the Scripture says that He does this for us. He does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. In our behalf and in our place, that's the very meaning of the little word for, huper. In our behalf and in our place, He demonstrates visually before the Father that sin's penalty has already been paid and no accusation of Satan can touch us. Satan points at my sins, he points at yours, and unfortunately sometimes we provide him with too much material. Satan points at our sins and Christ points at His wounds and the Father reaches a verdict. We are acquitted. We are declared righteous. We are justified. We are forgiven because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
Nothing else needs to be done. He offered Himself once, and that has eternal and infinite efficacy because of who He was.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.